Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we honor you. We glorify you. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your people. Lord, we need you to speak to us. Speak into our marriages, our relationships, our family. Help us, because we need, without you we can't do anything, Lord. In Jesus' name, let my word, oh God, not fall to the ground, but use it to heal your people and to heal me too, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to first thank my pastor, Pastor Johnny, for allowing me to use his pulpit. And to thank all the pastors, Pastor Elvis and Pastor Prophet Mills, the husband of Mrs. James. Sister Mama Dorothy, thank you for allowing your husband to be a blessing to us. Amen. And thank you for being a friend to me and my family also. Hallelujah. Well, they said that you can't say all protocols observed. It's bad English. Yeah, I just learned it from my English teacher. That you can't say all protocols observed. You have to do the right thing. Yeah, so I think I've done the right thing. All right. So, this morning, we're talking about marriage. In fact, I've titled my message, Family Matters. Because we're going to talk about family. And you can't talk about a family without talking about marriage. So if you're talking about marriage, you're actually talking about the family. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 24. 36. I'll try and give the married people something to, you know, to hold on to. Then those who are in courtship or who are trying to be married, I will try and give you something. Amen.
Amen.
So as it goes, Matthew 24, please, I need you to be very, very fast. Those at the back, Matthew 24, 37, 30. Otherwise, I'll get somebody to read it for me. Stand. Okay. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the son of the coming of man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So we find out that one of the signs of Christ's coming is people getting married. Are you seeing it? So when you see people, you know, anxiously trying to get married, it's one of the signs of the end time. Yeah, if you don't want Jesus to come, don't marry. Now that I'm going to your turn, now we are saying that you shouldn't marry. You see, we are sorry. We are, you marry. Hallelujah. But you see, as people are getting married, the rate of divorce also concerning marriage, even in the church, is also getting very high. And one thing I've learned about the devil is that if he cannot defeat, he has to join. So because he knows that marriage is very important to God, he has also joined the marriage. And he's given his own definition of marriage. So one of the signs of the times also is redefinition. Because the devil is redefining everything. He's redefining what gender is. Redefining what marriage is. Contrary to what God says. Amen. So today I believe that I will be able to help you or help us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, we're talking about marriage. And I want to talk about why it is important, why marriage is important. 31:32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So you see, the marriage is a cause. There is a reason for marriage. Marriage is not to satisfy a societal requirement. Marriage is not to follow a trend. Because unfortunately, now the world is like a trend. Everybody is following a trend. Since people are just trending. So we think that marriage is something that, everybody is marrying, so I should also marry. Without even taking the time to study what marriage is. Men are going into marriage without knowing who they are marrying and why they are marrying. Hallelujah. But you must understand that the first institution that God established was marriage. Hallelujah. And that's why Paul says that it is for a cause. And the cause is that it's a mystery concerning Christ and his church. I'm not going to go into that today. Amen. But you can't talk about family without talking about marriage. So when we're talking about family, we're talking about marriage because it is through marriage that families exist according to God's will. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis 2, 21, 24. And let me break it down for you. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be married. Amen. It's a privilege. I believe that it's a privilege. So if you want to marry, I mean, it's not a bad thing. Only know that you are fulfilling end time. End time, God. Hallelujah. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I want you to take note that he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She did not say that. He did not say that this is flesh and my blood. He said, bone. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into that because otherwise we won't finish. Amen. But you see, just to give you this, in the beginning, man was bone and flesh. Bone and flesh. Then after the fall, we became flesh and blood. That is just a hint. Amen. Now, 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A man will leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. So it is not the wife, the woman, who is moving to the man. It is the man moving to join the woman. Now, if you look at the world or how things work, let's say that you have qualified to go to a secondary school, a high school. You have been fortunate to go to a school like Addis Ababa College, which is the best secondary school in the world. Amen. Amen. If your father didn't send you to Addis Ababa College, 50% of your life is gone. You don't know what life is. I'm telling you, it's a privilege to go to Adesada College. Hey, you have no idea. You have no idea what it means to go to Adesada College. You have no idea. It's a college. Okay. Okay, what I'm trying to let you see is that, you see, when you go to the school does not learn about you. You learn about the school. You learn the requirements, the environment, and everything. Is that not so? When you move to another country, what you do is that you learn about the country. It's the same way with marriage. The Bible says that a man shall leave and then go and join the woman. So you, the man, you have to learn about the woman. If you do not learn about the woman, you will never have a good marriage. I am telling you. And this is what men we are missing. All the ladies, come for me. Come for me. Let me prove to you. Let me prove to you. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Quickly. Likewise, ye husbands, listen, dwell with them. Who's the them? According to knowledge. Right? Giving honor unto who? The wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Listen, one thing I've seen about, I know about marriage, and talk about marriage, is that there's so much that you can never exhaust the topic of marriage. All right, so we take, you know, here and there, and then we'll go, we'll flow. Amen. But you see, it says that dwell with them according to knowledge. The word knowledge there, it is not, in the Greek word, it is not Sophia. Sophia is wisdom. The word there is not epignosis. Epignosis is perfect knowledge, spiritual knowledge. The word used there is the word gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. And gnosis is a scientific body of knowledge. Are you getting the picture? He's saying that you must have a scientific knowledge of the woman that you are going to live with. You have to know who the woman is. God is going to violate every kind of prophetic gift that you have. He will not give you prophetic insight into the woman that you live with. God expects you to learn about the woman that you are living with. In other words, you have to find out when the woman wants flowers. Yeah. You have to learn when the woman is moody. You have to learn what pleases her. The Bible says you must dwell with her according to knowledge, physical knowledge. Listen, there is nothing like a spiritual gift of marriage. Please, listen, men, listen very, very carefully. There is nothing like gift of marriage. Are you understanding me? You will have to learn about the woman to have a good marriage. Listen, some time ago there was this car vehicle, those days in America we call it stick shift, right? You see the one that manual, right? In those days you have to first, second gear, and then you move, then automatic came. Now a lot of people are driving automatic, so we think that that is how marriage is. Marriage is not automatic. Marriage is like the stick shift, the manual one. Hallelujah. You need an intensive manual relationship and not an automatic one. That means that you really have to shift. You have to move. Amen. And it takes hard work and dedication to have a good marriage. Last week, we heard from people who have been married for so many years, and they were giving their testimony. And you can see that it is hard work. And even still, after 40 years, 47 years, after 30 years, you still need hard work to remain married. Because there are people who divorce after 30 years. There are married couples who divorce after 40, 50 years. They divorce. Hallelujah. So learn about your woman. Now let's go to Genesis. I'm going to give another one. Genesis chapter 5. 21, 23. Are you learning something about marriage?
Yeah.
All right. Genesis 5, 21, 23. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch lived, let me repeat it. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. When you hear that somebody begat somebody, what comes into your mind? Eh? How do you give birth? Eh? You marry, and when you marry, what do? You pray. Eh? You have to do what? You have to impregnate your wife. How do you impregnate?
You gotta have sex.
You gotta have sex.
Yes.
You gotta
make it.
Because they will say that I'm a sport. I'm not the one who said it. That means that Enoch was having sex because he begat. He was able to give birth to a child, and the name of the child was Methuselah. Go to the next verse. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. The man was still firing. And yet he was walking with God. I want you to think about this very, very seriously. The man was married and having children. And yet the Bible says he walked with God. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. I think we'll end there. Right? But my emphasis is on verse 22. And that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah for 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. That means that his marriage did not stop him from walking with God. And his walking with God did not stop him from having a good marriage and having children. Because these days, we use God to destroy marriage. And we use marriage to destroy our relationship with God. To destroy sometimes the church, our community. I mean, a friend will be say, "Oh, I don't know, one bar, sorry. Oh, we couldn't see up a mutu Sunday. You up a mutu entertainment one bar, sorry." So the marriage that God has given you now is being used to destroy your relationship with God. And people don't realize that coming to church is an integral part of our walk with God. Now there is a kind of redefinition about church, and that the church is I mean you can decide not to go, but you can walk with God. Both are true. You can walk with God and then still go to church because they go together. Amen. So there is no excuse for bad marriage.
or not satisfying your spouse because of God. Some people are also using God not to satisfy their spouse. And you use, sometimes we use fasting. Your husband is on your side tapping you. His rod and staff. His rod and staff are up, ready to pave the way. And you are denying him because you are fasting. The Bible does not prescribe that or describe, tell you to do that. Amen. You cannot use God to deny your spouse what he, you know, in marriage, the Bible says that your body is not yours. Amen. When you marry, those of you going, trying to get married, understand, Michelle, that your body is not yours. When you marry, your body is not yours. And your husband's body is not his. So, one can take it anytime he or she wants. Amen. You have no, unless the two of you decide that we are going on a fast and that between this time, no touching, no feeling. Amen. Now, I want us to look at something to see how important marriage is to God. Amen. You must understand the first institution that God made, like I said, is marriage. The first institution that a man shall leave his father and join his wife. Amen. John chapter 2. Let me go very far. I have a lot of things to say, but like I said, marriage, you cannot see everything. John chapter 2 verse 1, quickly. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Let's go. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You know why Jesus Christ was saying, mine hour is not yet come? If you read extra, this he will tell you that, you see, when Jesus was growing up, anytime he was trying to do something, the mother will remind him that your time hasn't come. You see, so when the mother also said that, say something, then he said, oh, but mother, my time hasn't come. So he was actually reminding, he wasn't being rude, was actually reminding the mother that my time hasn't come. Next verse. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Tell your neighbor, whatsoever Jesus Christ says unto you, do it. Especially concerning marriage. Amen. Next verse. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Go to the next verse. Next verse. Jesus said unto them, fill them. Draw out and bear. Go to the next verse. When they were of the feast, go to the next verse. Every man, go to the next verse. This is the verse I want. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. The Bible says that this beginning of miracles. Now, one notable thing about this verse is that, you see, throughout the New Testament, when the Bible talks about miracle, the word that is used in the Greek is about power. The New Testament writers were using the word dunamis. Okay. In John, the word miracle is not dunamis. Amen. It is the word sominion. Amen. Which means a sign. It can also mean miracle, but it is first and foremost a sign. That means that the miracle that Jesus Christ did, everything that he did in the book of John, was a sign. The thing about sign is that a sign does not point to itself. It points you to something else. Amen. Did you see the sign that says that shepherd's fold restoration? Did you see the sign? When you got there, did you stop there? It was pointing you to another place, isn't it? So a sign points you to something else. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that on the third day, when you read the Bible, the third day is always about the resurrection. Amen. In Hosea chapter 6 verse 2, he says that on the third day, he will lift us up. He will raise us up. Amen. Talking about resurrection. So, the third day is about resurrection. Now, when you read John chapter 2 verse 1, John 2 verse 1, he says that there was a marriage in Cana of God. He said, I just want you to see something. That there is a reason why Jesus Christ's first miracle was at a marriage feast. It shows you the priority of God in life. Amen. And that God is very, very interested in our marriages. Amen. If you are married, take your marriage very, very seriously. Take it. Because God is very interested in marriages. Hallelujah. So, he says that a marriage in Cana. Now, when you see names in the Bible, there is a reason why the names are there. It is giving you a message. Amen. Now, the meaning of Cana is to acquire, to possess. That's the word Cana. The meaning of Galilee is it's a circuit, like a circle. Right? So when you combine those two names, it means to possess or to acquire in a circle. Which means that you take it one at a time, you solve a problem at a time. That is the meaning of that idiom. Okay, so what the Bible is showing, Jesus Christ is showing us, is that you solve marital problems one at a time. The Holy Spirit will help you to solve your marital problems one at a time. Hallelujah. How is he going to do it? When you come to him, right? Sometimes it takes little things to let or to bring spice in the marriage. Sometimes, look, the whole problem that you are having is that you are not having time for your wife. You are too busy with your business and with your education and your career. The same thing also goes for women. Everybody is busy with their career. So there's no time spent between the two of you. So what is happening is that there is, a gap that is widening. But you don't realize it. You don't realize there's a gap. But you think that, if I go and make enough money, that should solve the problems in the marriage. But I'm telling you, nothing can be substituted for the fellowship that you and your wife must have. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? The miracle shows that Jesus can heal our marriages if we allow him. Amen. If he's allowed, because you see, wine is a symbol of joy. How many have seen that in the Bible? Wine is a symbol of joy. Amen. He pouring the oil and the wine that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he pouring the oil and the wine. A lot of you see the young people, they don't know the song. All of you here, you don't know the song, do you? You see, I feel sorry for you. The Gen Z's. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, when you get a good marriage, everything else falls into place. The problems you are having with your children, the problems you are having It's all because your marriage is not good. But if you allow Jesus Christ to give you a good marriage, everything else will fall into place. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt you, stop nagging. Stop nagging. And that stop nagging will be, the turnaround in your marriage, and you have no idea. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you that, just say sorry. Because some people don't know how to say sorry. Some people don't know how to say sorry. It is, for the person to say sorry, it's like you are squeezing something out of that person. To say sorry, no. The person will argue, and all it takes is to say sorry genuinely from your heart. And the whole problem, the fighting will die. But you don't want to say sorry. Amen. Most of the quarrels and the problems we have in the world and in life is about saying sorry. Acknowledging the fact that, I did something wrong. Sometimes, even if you have not done something wrong, just acknowledge that. In fact, if you were a man, you must know how to say sorry. If you were a man, because the women, they are never wrong. Hey! Unless you're not married before. The women are never wrong. Pastor James, is it not true? Pastor Elvis, you have also experienced it. So can't you see? No. Don't say it. Don't say it. Hey! So, to bring peace, let's say, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, you are sorry. Okay. Amen. And that thing will bring forgiveness. Amen. Last Wednesday, we learned about the four F's. One of them is forgiving. Amen. I don't know whether I should say something about forgiveness. You see, one thing about forgiveness is that, you see, when we want to solve a problem in a marriage, right, there is this thing that sometimes we pastors and other counselors we say to people, and that is that, sometimes you see a man trying to give a history of the problems, right? But sometimes we are very quick to tell the person, you are going back. Avoid going back. But I have come to realize that every lingering problem in a marriage has a root cause. And that if you do not allow the root cause to come up and dealt with, that problem will still be there. If we use this thing that don't go back, you are recording wrongs and things. There is a time when you don't have to record wrongs. But there is a time also that you have to go back to see what went wrong and how that problem can be solved. I don't know whether you understand me. Let me tell you the difference. The difference is that one goes back and then tries to use the thing that happened in the past to really destroy it. Like, you did this with that love in it, but rather to make himself like, I've won the situation. Then there's one also that is using what happened in the past with love so that the problem can be solved. Are you understanding it? God does it. God does the same thing. With the Israelites, God is a forgiving God. He says that as far as your sin is, the east is from the west, so have I removed your sins. But you must also remember that God, he sees the east and the west. Alright? So, when he says that, you will find out that sometimes he goes back and tells the prophets that these people, they are stiff-necked. They did this, they did that, You see, he reminds them of the things that they did that he has forgiven and still has, you know, brought them to this level. But he's doing it out of love for his people. He's not using it to crush them. Oh, I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. He's not using it to crush them. So sometimes we must, you know, allow certain things that have happened in the past not to be used to crush the spouse, but to be used to solve the problem that is lingering, because there's a root cause to that problem. Hallelujah. I hope I've helped. Let me move on. Amen. Now, what was I saying? Okay. Let me give an advice to the singles. Amen. The most powerful thing that a single person has in life is the power of choice. The power of choice. As long as you are not married, you have choice. Don't enter into any marriage and then back out so quickly. Look, I have seen a marriage very, very outstanding wedding, lavish wedding in New York City. Lavish wedding. It didn't last for 2 months. I am telling you. Philly. I was a witness to it. Within 2 months, the marriage had collapsed. I'm telling you. So don't, you see, this thing about marriage, let's not trivialize it all. Because you can die because of marriage. People have gone mad because of marriage. When you go to the psychiatric hospital, there are people who are there, especially women. You go there, and the first thing they will tell you, hey, Kwesi, Adia Kwesi, Dayemi, Kwesi. Oh, is there anybody called Kwesi here? I'm sorry. I should say what? I should say Kofi. You lie bad. Share. Me, I'm Kofi. Why should I say Kofi? Kweku. Kweku. Adia Kweku, Dayemi. Ah, Kweku. I don't hear me, sir. They are bad. If you want to marry somebody, marry Kofi. Hey, we are good people, especially if the Kofi went to Adesanya College. Oh, I know, I know, I know. Ekwakra. Amen. Now, look at Pastor Johnny. Now I have the mic. So I'm sorry that you gave me the bag. Now listen, the young people, last time somebody asked a question about submission, and I've been thinking about it, and I will tell you this. Watch how the person that you like or you are in a relationship with, watch how the person treats. If it's a man, watch how he treats his sisters and his mother. Watch it. If he treats them with respect, he will do the same thing to you. If he does not, he will do the same thing to you. For now, he's treating you because he wants you. But the way he's treating his mother and his sisters is the same way. I am telling you, I promise you. I'm not cursing. I'm promising you. And if you are a man with a woman, watch, especially when she doesn't know you are around, watch how he relates to the father. Watch it. Especially when the father gives an instruction, watch how she behaves and watch her reaction to it. I'm helping you. If she does not, and she grumbles and complains about the father's instruction, I am telling you, wallahi talahi, he will do it, she will do it to you. She will not be submissive to you after 2 months of marriage. She will not. Because you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he's, look, if she is doing it to the father who born her, you that you are unequal, the sister was equal, who are you? Who born dog? Ah! Hallelujah. I wanted to go about, time is fast paced, so I want to go about the kinds of marriages. But let me just give it. There are two types of marriages, covenant and cultural. Okay? The cultural is the one that we do amongst us. Which it's a marriage. Alright? It's a marriage. Then there is the covenant one that a pastor comes to pray. Even in the cultural one, the pastor can come and pray over it. It becomes a covenant once God has been brought in. Amen. Alright? I don't want to go into that. Alright? But let me give you, because time is fast spent, let me give you 2 roles of the wife, and I'll give you another role of the man, and then we'll end. Amen. All right. Ha. I really wanted to talk about, you see, this forgiveness thing. If we do not deal with it, it's going to affect us, your marriage, in a way that you don't have an idea. Because the verse that I quote, 1 Peter 3, 7. Give it to me quickly. Quickly. 1 Peter 3, 7. It says that, likewise, your husband dwell with them according to knowledge, given unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. So there is a place or the thing that we do that can let our prayers be hindered. One of them is unforgiveness. Amen. And that shows us the importance of a relationship before coming to God. In Christianity, relationship precedes worship. What did I say? Relationship precedes worship. You cannot have a bad relationship and then go to God, go and pray. Jesus Christ said that if you have a fight against your brother, before you go to the altar, first go and reconcile with him before you go and pray. In Christianity, relationship precedes worship. So you cannot be fighting with your wife or fighting with your husband and come and worship and then you think that everything is okay. No. No, the Bible is saying that your prayers are hindered. Amen. And for those of you who are also, you know, having problems, you are a woman, you don't respect your husband. But when you come to church, you respect the pastor. You honoring the pastor, but the Bible says that women, submit yourself unto your own husband. That is why the own is there. Your own. The pastor is not your own husband. I mean, look, I'm a pastor too. So we all want to be honored, right? But the Bible is not saying that you should honor the pastor. The place that the Bible says you should honor and be submitted and submit is to your own husband. You cannot, you know, deny your husband food at home and come to church and come and serve the pastor. It's wrong. You are not serving God. That is why I told you that you cannot use your marriage, you know, not to serve God, or to use God not to serve your marriage. It doesn't work like that. Amen. All right. Let me give you a role of the wife. I have some few minutes. We'll get there. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Proverbs 12, 4. So you singles, you've gotten something, right? Okay. Did it help you? Yeah. So Michelle, watch the guy, watch him, the way he treats you, the way he treats his sisters. Watch. Sometimes do it in such a way that he won't know that you are around. Yeah, surprise him. And let him also surprise you. You should come to your listen and see how you do your room. If your room is bazaar, and he comes, you see that this woman, no, you don't know. You don't know. Where are we? A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. One role of a woman is to be a crown to the husband. Now, let me tell you, some people say that the woman, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck and can turn the head. Have you heard it before? It's very wrong. What the neck does is to manipulate the head. The neck manipulates. So if you are calling yourself the neck, that means that you are a manipulator. So don't be, you are a crown. You are the crown of the husband. Oh, you don't want to be a crown, you want to be the neck. Why? Hallelujah. Now, the reason why you wear a crown is that you are honoring your husband. Amen. So your duty is to honor the husband. The crown is a symbol of honor. Amen. So you honor the husband. Look, and you don't honor the husband because he deserves it. You honor the husband because you yourself, you are honorable. Hallelujah. Don't do it because... Listen, if you are going to do things in the marriage because of who he or she is, you will never do it. Because sometimes if you look at the man and you look at his head, and you look at the December head, and then that he's saying something that makes you so angry. You look at his head, and they say, I should submit to this guy. But you do it because of God. See, that is why I was going to talk about the covenant marriage and then the culture. In the covenant marriage, there is a third party. All right? The third party is God. Pastor was teaching about, like threefold cord. It's not easily broken because there's a God factor in it. And it's because of God factor that we do certain things. Amen. And the blessings will come because you obeyed God, not because of the man or the woman. Hallelujah. All right. So you are the crown. I have four rules, but I'll give you another one. The wife is the controller of the home. The wife is actually the one who hurts the home. And I know many of you will be surprised that I'm saying this. 1 Timothy 5:14. Quickly. 1 Timothy 5. Listen, I want to be called back to preach. So I don't want to go over the time. You people at the back, make sure I don't go over the time. I will therefore that the younger men, younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now I'm going to do something. Now the word guide. I want somebody to help me. I want somebody who is not married. Michelle. I said verse what? Verse 14. Okay. Read it for me. I wrote therefore that, okay, I want you to do something. You see, this Bible, it gives you the Greek meaning for every word. All right. So tap here. Tap the guide. Have you seen something that's popped up? Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. So it says what?
Dictionary definition.
Okay. So it's going to give us a definition for the word guide. Okay. All right. What does it say? What is this word? So the number is 3616. So read the Greek word.
Oikodespotio.
Okay. Now read the meaning.
The master of the house. To be master of a house, exercising authority with the emphasis on absolute rule as a despot.
Are you getting it? The word has been rendered guide there. I want you to understand what it means.
To govern or manage a house. To govern or manage a household or the domestic affairs of a family. Another one is as the ruler of the house.
Have you gotten it? It says that the meaning of the word guide is the master of the house. To be a master of a house, exercising authority with the emphasis on absolute rule as of a despot. So the word there is oikodespotio. So you there's a word there. There's a word inside oikodespotio. What word do you come to mind? Despot. What does a despot do? He rules. He controls. So the Bible is saying that the woman must marry, bear children, and control the house. So sometimes when the woman is controlling the house, it's not because she wants to be bossy. But that is the role that she is supposed to play. Now, as she is controlling the house, the Bible also says that the head of the woman is the man. The head of the controller is the man. So you are controlling, but bear in mind that your head, you also has a controller. Yeah. Because I think in Titus chapter 2 verse 5. Let's see if I got it right. If my Bible this thing is right. Right? I think in Titus I think Titus 2 5 or 5 2. It talks about 2:5. Okay. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to who? So the woman who is supposed to be keepers at home and to be despot and control the house must be obedient to their own husband. You see, so there must be a balance. So there must be a balance. The man should not say that, hey, you I want you to understand, there must be a balance. When your wife is trying to take control of at home and do things, it's not because she wants to be take your, it's not, she doesn't want to take your role. But then you, the woman, also must acknowledge the fact that there is a man that you must submit to. Hallelujah. The word, listen, submission is very easy if you allow God to help you to submit. Amen. Because look, submission is of the heart too. If you don't see your husband as somebody you must submit to, you will never submit. Amen. Let it be from the heart. You know when Sarah called Abraham Lord, Abraham did not hear that she called him Lord to the angels. But it was more like that she wasn't calling the husband Lord. But she called the husband Lord to the angels. Hallelujah. So I've given you two, right? Do you want another one from the woman? You want the man? Okay, so I've given you two. Let me give you one for the woman. Okay. You are a helper. The woman's role is very, very important to me because I think some things have been misunderstood. That's why I want to talk about. Because as for the men, we all know. We all know, love your wife and all those things. We all know. So that's why I want to emphasize. Helper. And the Lord God made. He did what? He made a help meet for the man. We all know that verse, isn't it? Okay. Now, the word help there, if you can get the verse for me. Genesis. The word help there is the word Ezer, E-Z-E-R, or E-Z-E-R. And that word Ezer, I will make him and help meet. The word help is used 16 times for God. That word help that is used for the woman is used 16 times for God. For God. Amen. Amen. So that help that the woman is coming to give you, number one, it is the help from God. Amen. The woman is supposed to help you just as God will help you. Woman, you are very powerful. So don't abuse the power that you have. Amen. Because sometimes you cause too much problem for the men. I've not called you. Amen. I want to say something. I heard a man of God say something that stuck with me, and I think it's true. He said that the woman is the only creature that can nullify God's word or can nullify God's order. I thought about it. I said it's true. Look, God told Adam, do not eat of the fruit. The woman comes and says that eat. Yeah. God has given an order. The woman says no, eat. And the man too. Mbelezi, you know, was there. God told Samson, do not let anybody know your dreadlocks. Don't tell anybody. A woman. Please tell me. Oh, you see, when if you cut my hair, woman. Woman is the only creature that can nullify God's word. They are powerful. Women. See, I want you to see how powerful you are, but you can use it for the wrong thing or for good. Hallelujah. Let me give you one role of the husband, and then we'll close. Amen. We know about to love your wife as Christ loved the church. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23, my last verse, and then we'll close. Amen. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. When you read this verse, you would think that he's talking about Jesus Christ, who is the savior of the body, isn't it? But he's not talking about Jesus Christ. The he there is the man. How do you call it in English? The subject matter, or is it a subject matter? Is the man. Right? He's talking about the man. And he says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he, small he, is the savior, small s. Amen. Small s. The word used there, Caesar, is sota in Greek, S-O-T-E-R. And the word savior is used 24 times. It's only here in this verse that the word is used with small s. All other times, it's used with a capital S. That is talking about Jesus Christ. But here is the only time that is used with a small s. And that word means to rescue from danger, from harm, to keep in a safe condition. Amen. To rescue from danger. So the role of the man is to save, to rescue from danger, to rescue from harm his wife. So when you see your wife going in a tangent, an angle that is not safe, it's your role to save your wife. Don't say that my wife, she's troublesome, she's not submissive. So you see that where she's going, she's doing something that's going to cause a problem to her. Don't keep quiet. Save her. Amen. Save her from problems. Save her from troubles. Hallelujah. Believe that Christ through you is saving the woman that he has given you. Hallelujah. Have you learned something? Do you believe that from today you will have a good... For those who are not married, you know, as you are praying, pray that you have a good marriage. Amen. And be watchful. Bible says that watch and pray. As you are looking for a wife or a husband, be watching. Hallelujah. Be watching. The things that you've learned, you know, the guy and then the lady, watch. Hallelujah. Because the moment you enter into it, we won't let you divorce. No, you unless there's a very good reason, but we won't let you divorce. Amen. Pastor Johnny is a very good pastor. He won't just let you divorce like that. Amen. So my prayer is that from today, our marriages will be sweet. We'll have a happy marriage. Amen. God will give us sweetness in our marriages and our relationship. Amen. And I pray that our family life will be filled with joy. Hallelujah. If you have children, you know, one thing about raising children is that there is no one particular rule for raising children. Hallelujah. Because the way I will raise my children, if you raise them that your children that way, it may not help. But the only thing you have to do is to pray and let God guide you into how you're going to raise your children. Hallelujah. Because our children are different. The way you talk, even if you have three children or two children, the way you talk to this one, you don't have to speak like that to the other one. The reaction will be different. Hallelujah. So, have you been helped? Father, thank you for your word that has come. We give you glory. We give you praise. You are here. You have heard this word that has been preached. But before you can enter into that realm of marriage and of relationship, I talked about the fact that there is a third person that is involved, and that is Christ. If you have not given your life to Christ, I want you to make a decision today that you're going to invite Christ into your life. If you have not let Christ be the king in your marriage, I want you to also decide that from today, I will let Christ be the head of my marriage. Hallelujah. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, I want to pray with you. I will pray with you wherever you are. I want to just lift up your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. We'll just pray together. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I accept Jesus as my Lord and He's my Savior. From today, I'm a new person. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.